AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Prince Andrew, the Duke of York, the man who once strutted through Buckingham Palace with medals on his chest and a smirk that said, "The rules don't apply to me." The man who thought the crown was a shield that money, power, and bloodlines could rewrite the truth. But the truth has a way of leaking through those palace walls now, doesn't it? Because when you hear Virginia Giuffre's story, you strip away all the excuses, the lawyers, the headlines, the he said, she said. You're left with something very simple. A powerful man, a vulnerable girl in a system that made sure his comfort mattered more than her pain. This is all part of the cover-up. All part of the Epstein cover-up that the United States government is currently actively engaged in. He happens to be one of the few that we know quite a bit about. So, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about what we know, about what life was like, about the experience that Virginia Giuffre had with this guy. Part of the Epstein ecosystem, because it's a piece of the pie. It's not all of it. It's just a slice. But when you get a taste for what that pie is all about, you start to understand just how rancid and disgusting it actually is. And you go, oh my God, there's more pie? Who is eating more of this pie? Well, according to Cash Patel, no one. They don't exist. It doesn't have. There's nobody else. It was all for Epstein. What about him? You just said there's nobody else? What about him? What about all the stuff he did? They're stripping his title. All that's just for fun. Ghislaine's in prison just for fun. Nobody else is involved. Cash, are you sure? Yeah. Call me crazy, but I think you might be wrong. So let's talk about this slice of the pie from hell. Virginia wasn't born into privilege. She was a teenager just trying to survive. Her parents were struggling. She'd bounced between unstable homes. She was working at Mar-a-Lago, cleaning, running towels, just another face in the background of America's rich playgrounds. When Ghislaine Maxwell spotted her, and that's where the grooming began. Ghislaine approached her the way predators always do, softly, sweetly, with opportunity dressed up as kindness. She said, She could help Virginia get an education, give her work as a masseuse for wealthy clients. It sounded legitimate, the way that sort of job sounds legitimate to a young, inexperienced girl in life or anyone who has never been in those circles of power. But underneath it, it was a recruitment pitch, the opening act in Jeffrey Epstein's human trafficking enterprise. The one, again, that our current Department of Justice likes to pretend didn't happen. Virginia was 17 when Ghislaine handed over, or was handed over to Epstein. 17. Old enough to dream about adulthood, young enough to still be a kid in Epstein's world, youth wasn't innocence. It was currency. She became trapped in the life of coerced appointments, private flights, forced smiles, a puppet in a billionaire's twisted version of high society. And in that same world of privilege and secrecy, she met a prince, Prince Andrew, Queen Elizabeth's second son, a man raised on entitlement and public image. Virginia says Ghislaine introduced them in London in 2001. She remembers the moment vividly. She was told she'd be meeting a handsome prince. Ooh, it sounds like a Disney movie, doesn't it? Yeah, and it turns into a porn that's even too dark for Pornhub. Maxwell dressed her up, protected her like she was being presented to royalty. There's that photograph, you've seen it. Andrew with his arm wrapped around her waist, Ghislaine smiling behind them, the image that would haunt him forever. That photo, according to Virginia, was taken right before everything happened. She says Ghislaine leaned in and told her, "You're going to do for him what you do for Jeffrey." In other words, you're not meeting a prince, you're servicing one. And that night, she says it happened. She was 17. He was 41. Virginia has described the encounter in detail over the years, the fear, the disgust, the sense that she wasn't a person in that room. She was property, a possession passed between monsters in designer suits. And in her memoir, she writes that Andrew behaved as if sex was his birthright. That word birthright is what sticks with me because it captures everything wrong with this story. A man born into privilege convinced the world and everyone in it existed for his use. But it didn't end that night. Virginia says she was trafficked to Andrew at least two more times, once in New York at Epstein's mansion and once at the infamous Little St. James Island, Epstein's private Caribbean playground, otherwise known as Epstein Island. Each time arranged by Ghislaine, each time paid for by Epstein. Andrew, of course, denies all of it. He says he has no memory of ever meeting her. He says the photograph is fake, even claimed that he couldn't sweat. That her description of him perspiring was impossible due to a rare medical condition. That was his actual defense. A man accused of essaying a teenager tried to explain it away with a sweat gland theory. And then came the BBC interview, the now infamous hour that should be taught in every crisis management class as the single worst public relations move in history. Andrew walked into that interview expecting to clear his name. Instead, he torched it. He smirked. He contradicted himself. He called Epstein's behavior unbecoming. He said he didn't regret his friendship because it gave him opportunities. Opportunities. That word came out of his mouth while discussing a convicted sex offender. He talked like a man trapped in his own delusion, as if he could charm his way through it, like every other scandal in his pampered life. But this wasn't a PR blunder. It was a window into how deeply entitlement runs when someone's never faced consequences. That interview broke something for the royal family. The public backlash was instant and brutal. Within months, Andrew was stripped of his military affiliation and public duties. The Queen, his own mother, quietly exiled him. And when Virginia filed a civil lawsuit against him in 2021 under New York's Child Victims Act, the place went into lockdown mode. Now, Andrew could have fought that lawsuit in court. He could have testified, produced evidence, tried to clear his name. Instead, he settled privately, quietly, for reported £12 million. The official statement said it wasn't an admission of guilt, just an expression of regret. It's an expression of regret. How eloquent. But you don't pay eight figures because you regret a misunderstanding. You pay because the truth is radioactive and you can't afford that to leak. The settlement did more than silence the courtroom. It confirmed what many already suspected, that even the most powerful family on earth will pay to protect its own before it ever protects victims. Virginia's story, however, didn't disappear. She kept talking in interviews and court filings, and most recently in her book. And in it, she doesn't just describe the encounters. She describes the system, the handlers, the lawyers, the protectors who circled these men like bodyguards around a secret. She writes about how the royal apparatus, the Epstein network, and the legal threats all worked together to keep her quiet. When she finally went public, the machine turned on her. She was called a liar, a gold digger, a fame seeker. Online trolls, allegedly funded by people connected to Andrew, flooded her accounts with harassment. That's the part most people miss. The abuse didn't stop when she escaped Epstein's world. It just changed form. It became psychological, digital, institutional. And through all of it, Andrew kept his distance, hiding behind lawyers and statements. He's never once spoken directly to Virginia, never offered a personal apology, never acknowledged that her story deserved to be heard. And let's pause there, because this isn't just about one man's alleged crimes. It's about the power structure that protects men like him. The monarchy, the legal system, the U.S. Department of Justice, Cash Patel, the wealth, the access, all of it designed to make sure someone like Virginia Giuffre never stands a chance. Think about it. If an average man did what she describes, he'd be rotting in a cell. But when you're a royal, justice becomes optional. And the worst part, he still doesn't get it. You can see it in his rare public appearances, the awkward half-smile at church, the desperate attempt to look normal again. The palace PR machine keeps trying to test the waters to see if the public's ready to forgive, but they're not. Because this isn't a rumor that fades with time. This is the permanent record of a man who thought his title made him invincible. And now that's gone too. Virginia's courage forced him out of the shadows. She forced her royal to stand in the same light the rest of us live under every day. There may never be a criminal conviction against him. That ship's probably sailed. But his dignity, his reputation, and whatever's left of his illusion of untouchability, that's gone. In her memoir, and I highly suggest reading it if you want a better understanding of what's going on right now with our Department of Justice and what exactly they are covering up. Nobody's Girl is the name of it. Here it is. She writes about the loneliness that comes with telling the truth about powerful men, about how the world doesn't rush to protect you. It punishes you for speaking. But she did it anyway. She knew the backlash was coming, and she did it anyway. That backlash may have been her death. And here's the irony. The very thing that made Andrew powerful, his name, is now what keeps him shackled to this scandal forever. Every search, every headline, every documentary, every conversation about Epstein's crimes, his name is right there. Side by side with Virginia Giuffre. That's his legacy now. He can hide behind palace gates. Well, he used to be able to. He can't do that anymore. But he can't hide from that photo. The family events that he used to attend, he's been kicked out of those now, too. The ghost of that 17-year-old girl will always be standing right next to him in the public's mind. And when history looks back at this era, at Epstein, at Maxwell, at the web of men who used and discarded young women like currency, Andrew's name won't be a footnote. It'll be a headline that proved no one, not even a prince, is above exposure. That's what Virginia Giuffre did. She exposed the rot beneath the gold. She showed that power doesn't make you pure. It just hides your sins longer. And the second that curtain falls, all that's left is truth. Prince Andrew is living proof of what happens when arrogance meets consequence. A man who believed his bloodline could wash away the stains, but there's no title for what he's become. Just a reminder that when the lights go out at Buckingham Palace, the shadows don't disappear. They just get quieter. Because the truth is still there, and no crown in the world can protect him from it. Your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not there, if you're listening to us on the podcast platform, please hit subscribe there, but also check out our YouTube channel. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. That's where you can weigh in. I'd love to hear your voice. It matters. Let's hear it. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.